This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and Arvind Yuvraj. And earlier before the break, we were discussing
like fully vaccinated companies and what it means for their operations and how they might be going back to full-time work if all their staff are vaccinated.
Yes. And if you want to get in touch with us about that or any other of the topics that we are discussing today, you can do so on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Speaking of which, do we have any responses?
Yeah. So this comes from Ben, who says that companies have been requesting a program similar to Pika's for a long time. Sri Lanka and Aeon Group for the employees, suppliers and mall tenants did have similar initiatives, but until now, no news after asking companies to register. The process might be a bit too slow.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least the process is happening, I think. I think that's sort of the main consolation that we have for most things. But yes, do continue to get in touch with us throughout the show. Right now, what we're going to be doing is talking about Pumule, specifically pertaining to what is relevant in this financial aid package for SMEs and other businesses.
And businesses, yeah. So yesterday, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin listed a number of initiatives under the package known as Package Pelindungan Rakyat dan Pemulihan Ekonomi, or Pumule for short. It's an aid package worth about 150 billion ringgit to help people, businesses, as well as those vaccinated under Phase 1 of the National Recovery Plan, or NRP. So the government will also provide a total amount of 10 billion direct fiscal injection. So here are some highlights. We'll focus more on SMEs and businesses for this segment, leaving out a bit more of the general stuff because that's being covered in our new segments. Mm-hmm. The Morning Run covered it. It will be continued, I think, in the evening edition as well. So the government will add up to 500 ringgit for Bantuan Prihatin Rakyat. Altogether, a total of 4.9 billion will be paid out under the BPR scheme. Expansion of job seekers allowance to SOCSO, non-contributors, so they can register at My Future Jobs and will receive an allowance of at least 300 ringgit. Households of the hardcore poor will get about 500 ringgit in August, 500 in November, and 300 in December. And singles in this bracket will get about 200 ringgit in August and 300 in November. Moving to the B40, they will get 500 ringgit in August, 300 in December. Singles will get about 200 in August. And the M40, so the M40 is an interesting bracket because it's normally not the one that's left out, but it's not the one that gets a lot of aid during these packages because for obvious reasons, it is the M40. But the M40 seems to be getting a lot of incentives in the Pumule announcement in this new aid package. So they will get 250 ringgit, while singles will receive about 100 in August. The government will allocate another 1 billion ringgit to ensure that the price of cooking oil remains at 250. So this is, I guess, helpful for the F&B scene as well. 15 million ringgit will be allocated to non-governmental organizations to help social issues like mental health and homelessness and other issues. And they will also retain a retail price for around 95 petrol, diesel and LPG. There will be a discount on electricity bills of between 5% and 40% up to a maximum usage of 900 kilowatts, a kilowatt hours, and that will be given per month. Hotel operators, theme parks, convention centres, shopping malls, that's a big thing. And tour operators will get a three-month extension of electricity bill discounts of 10% from October to December. And telecommunication companies will extend the 1 GB of daily free data until the end of the year. Breaking it down even further, there'll be an additional 500 ringgit to eligible recipients under the GKP 3.0 initiative. Now on to the SME side of things, there's an additional payment of 500 ringgit under GKP 4.0 to be paid in September and another 500 in November this year. 18 million ringgit for local banks to provide 30 units of mobile banks, which are expected to cover 250 rural areas. Government will continue the wage subsidy scheme, so this is a huge one, that will support up to 500 workers per employer with assistance of 600 ringgit per worker for 4 months. There are no salary conditions, and this means that employers can apply for the scheme even if the employees earn more than 4,000 ringgit a month. Government will automatically exempt payments for the HRD levy for 2 months to employers who are not able to operate during phase one of the recovery plan, and employers from new sectors such as I mean, as a result of the expansion of the Human Resources Development Fund Act 2001, will be given a levy extension until about December 2021. So the government will extend the Penjana Kerjaya program as well. This includes reducing the salary eligibility limit from 1,500 ringgit to 1,200 ringgit for the Malaysianization program to give more incentives to employers to replace foreign workers with local workers. The employment contract period will also be reduced from 12 months to 6 months for employees age 50 and above, the disabled and former prisoners as well. EPF will introduce a new withdrawal facility called iChitra, where EPF members can make withdrawals of 5,000 ringgit, or up to 5,000 ringgit, with a fixed payment of 1,000 ringgit per month for 5 months stretched out. Finally, and this is a big one, I think this has been one that's been requested again and again since the first MCO, there will be a 6-month automatic moratorium for all borrowers, regardless if they are from the B40, M40 or T20 groups. They will have to apply and approval will be given automatically by the bank. So I think there's slight confusion here about what automatic means. Some people think that it's not an opt-in process, that you just, it's a blanket moratorium. But I think there is an application process where you have to notify your banks.
Yeah, I think what it means is you do have to opt into the moratorium, but the approval by right should be automatic.
So there's no questions asked. If you want it, you have the moratorium given. That will be open from July 7. They are also required to apply and sign an agreement on the related loan terms. So I think that'll be ironed out in time, so banks will have to reach their customers or tell their customers how to reach the banks.
We're going to be talking about the moratorium specifically more as well.
Especially tomorrow and maybe even day after. But yeah, so this is like the slight breakdown. There's a lot more that you can find out, I guess, if you go. We got this from the Star, so you can go to the Star, Malay Mail, check out our BFM news on Twitter. There are more incentives available, but this focuses directly on primarily SMEs and the business sector.
I mean, again, I don't know. I can't say that I am a finance expert by any means, but I will say that whatever aid that the government is giving hopefully will be able to be useful to people who desperately need it at the time.
And a lot of people desperately need it at the time.
So after the break, we will get an actual expert on the line, as opposed to just sharing our thoughts on it. We'll be speaking to Joachim Sebastian, founder and managing director of Everpeaks, to get his thoughts on the Pumule allocations, especially for the business and SME sectors. That's all coming up shortly. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. But for now, here is Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton with Islands in the Stream on BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and Arvind Yuvaraj after a very familiar-sounding promo for Beyond the Ballot.
I wonder who those were.
Absolutely no clue.
No idea.
Who those two people were talking about politics. Mm-hmm. But as it is 12:30 p.m., we do have an update from KLCI.
Yeah, so it is up by 0.06% at 1,545 points. Active stocks are Serba Dynamic, Nescon Berhad and MMAG Holdings. The ringgit is at 4.14 against the US dollar, 3.13 against the Aussie dollar and 3.08 against the Sing dollar.
Well, speaking of finances and numbers and stocks and all that jazz, today we have been discussing the Pumule package and specifically how it pertains to SMEs and other businesses. Mm-hmm. We've also been talking about fully vaccinated company operations as well. So if you want to get in touch with us about that or any other topics that we're going to be discussing today, you do have half an hour left, and you can do so through Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. And you can also get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And our current focus is the Pumule package and how it pertains to SMEs and other businesses. And we are not the only people speaking about this today. We currently have Joachim Sebastian, founder and managing director of Everpeaks, on the line with us to share his thoughts. So thank you very much, Joachim, for staying on the line with us today. What are your overall thoughts on the Pumule allocations, especially for the business and SME sectors?
I think in terms of this particular announcement by the government, it's quite accurate to the needs of the country at this juncture. Businesses have been suffering for a very long time. The lockdowns are affecting the livelihoods of almost all the PKS, right? All the small and medium enterprises. So I think that a great portion of this assistance has been allocated towards the SMEs, and that is well warranted, because without this, we would lose the economic backbone of our country, which is the SMEs that generate most of the jobs anyway. So that's, I think I'm very positive about this this campaign done by the government. I'm very grateful, in fact, because even for us, we would be significantly assisted with what has been proposed.
Mm-hmm. Joachim, was there anything in the announcement that surprised you?
What has surprised me about this? Well, they finally got it right. So that was a surprise, right? This is exactly what the country needs in terms of delivering liquid cash to the hands of people who would spend it and keep the economy going. Companies need cash flow. At this juncture, when you decide to shut down operations of the entire country, it is not the first time that this is being done. So resources for the SMEs are so low, and most of them are going to start becoming non-compliant just for the sake of survival. And this plan by the government, the Pemulih plan, is definitely something that can assist the companies to stay afloat, keep the people who are working for them in jobs, and that's going to be critical for us to get out of this rut once the vaccination program is successful anyway. So I was very surprised that among all the plans that have been rolled out, this is, I think, by far the one that's going to create the biggest impact and drive sustainability for the entire economy.
Interesting. Now, of course, there are other initiatives in the plan that have been announced that are not specifically for businesses and or SMEs. But how can business owners tap into these incentives as well to help them survive?
Well, I think the other benefits that have been announced still relate to the business segment because, you know, whatever helps the individual also has the potential to help the business because business owners are individuals themselves. They have loans to pay. They have children going to pay who are paying PTPTN, you know, and they have a huge amount of investment / debt / probably savings that have sunk into the business up to now. And by having a six-month moratorium, you actually allow the businesses to have successful cost-cutting measures because you can't cut costs while you're paying the banks your loan without the ability to generate revenue, right? It doesn't make sense. It's like a double-edged, not double-edged sword, but it's in between a rock and a hard place. There's no way you can move. So the moratorium is the key thing that the government has announced. Furthermore, business owners who have had a great run up to now would have some resources in their EPF. And, you know, having the ability to pull out some small amount of debt funds will definitely assist them because most of these business owners are not taking a salary from the company just to keep things sustained. And having the ability to draw from EPF, even though it's 1,000 ringgit a month, it still helps keep food on the table. So that's great.
Yeah. So at this stage, 1.5 years into the pandemic, are any of the allocations enough for SMEs and micro businesses?
In terms of the allocations, I think the allocations are there. The problem is the banks are still very, very restrictive in the way that they approach it. Even for us, when we are reaching out to the banks last year, the criteria for approval is still way too tight. They expect profit from companies. They expect a positive shareholder value. They expect all these things that are, I mean, consistent in a pre-pandemic era, but, you know, during the pandemic, everything's upside down. You're not going to get companies which have good paperwork and collateral and so on. So even when the government announces all these billions of ringgit, how many of the SMEs that really need it can even touch that funds, right? It's just the legislation and the restrictions needs to be eased so that companies get easy access to capital and, of course, balanced with some prudence. However, prudence at this time needs to be very, very, it needs to be applied empathetically, right? You need to be able to sit in the shoes of the SMEs and understand their business. So high-performing bank managers or bank officers or funding officers need to be in play where they really understand the business and, you know, make sure that the companies that have a chance to fight and come out of this are given that support, given that opportunity, and, you know, given that benefit of the doubt at this juncture, because if not, you're going to lose a lot of great companies right now.
Right. And as you mentioned, one thing that has been requested time and time again is the loan moratorium, which has now been reintroduced under Pumuli as an opt-in process. So what are your thoughts on this and its impact on SMEs and micro-businesses?
So if it is an opt-in process, either way, it's still going to be necessary, because whatever said and done, the 6 months moratorium was the reason why we survived the first lockdown. Without that, it would have been wiped out straight away. And honestly, even though this is a great plan, the Pemulih plan should have come 3 months earlier. We have had so many cases of that should not have occurred, where, you know, individuals are pushed to corners, have done things that they should not have been allowed to reach that stage, where, you know, they're committing suicide, they're doing things, they're self-harming and things like that. And this could have been avoided if rectification measures have been announced and shared much earlier. And, you know, it's very sad to see our country reach this stage. I just hope that the voices of the SMEs are heard quicker and more sooner, instead of, you know, waiting for the situation to become this bad. I've had friends who have lost, you know, hundreds of thousands of ringgit, companies that have not been allowed to operate, tourism businesses that are really devastated by this. And there's something that I want to bring attention to, is that, you know, we talk about all these official funding sources, but there's a huge part of our economy that works on non-traditional funding, where, you know, it's cash funding, or, you know, they obtain funds from moneylenders to run the business and things like that. These guys have no recourse. And even now, you know, there's huge amount of fear and in, I guess, just instability in the whole ecosystem, that you don't know what's going to happen. Not being allowed to run your business is such a big deal, because there are many of us in our country that, you know, are surviving day to day based on their earnings and sales, whether it's their garage or is it their store or maybe a makan shop somewhere, right? So it's really worrying, but all things said and done, we're all trying our best. It is a great plan, I believe. And I think whatever that the government has announced, including the expansion of funding to the micro SMEs, are going to be essential and critical key impact, I guess, activities. Because without that, we're dead, honestly speaking. Without that, we're dead.
Yeah. So last question, Joachim. To help SMEs further, what would you suggest to be included or amended in the next aid rollout, or even as like an extension to the Pumuleh aid package?
So let's talk about what we need to do to get out of this and recover the economy. First, we've got to keep people in jobs, right? So to keep people in jobs, SMEs need to maintain their manpower and maintain their talent force. To maintain their talent force, they need cash flow. To have cash flow, they need sales. In order to survive, they will release people. They will not maintain the job. So the government needs to ensure that subsidies of manpower costs need to be rolled out and keep it consistent across a number of months, not just 3-4 months. It needs to be done for the longer term. Incentives for new hires need to be there. And of course, the most important is to ensure liquidity of the SMEs. A lot of them are stuck with this bank processes that are, you know, some of it is antagonistic, in fact, where banks are using certain rules to just ensure that they pick and choose the companies that are allowed to receive the benefit of the government funding. And being on the receiving end of this as well, in the early stages of the pandemic last year, it's quite an offensive thing to go through, especially when you yourself are figuring out how you want to survive, right? And secondly, to actually allow a longer scale moratorium. I mean, the banks have been earning for years on the backs of the SMEs. In times like this, for national requirement, I think Bank Negara should step in and ensure that the banks actually do what they need to do to support the economy. Because in the end, if the customers go down, the banks are going to go down with them in the long term. So what's the point, right? Incentivize the banks with future tax incentives and so on to ensure that there's a win-win situation at the end of this. Reduce the barrier of entry or the criteria for approval of bank loans. I think that's going to be most of the short-term key activities to assist SMEs. However, if you talk about individuals, I would say don't forget about the unbanked. Don't forget about those who are in the B40. For us, at least for the entrepreneurs, well, you tighten your belt, you lose a lot of money, you lose what you've built for years. But, you know, most of the time, your livelihood is not at stake, or at least you can still afford to eat. And there are a lot of people out there who can't. These are the people that need assistance, need empathy, and need an understanding, kind government right now in order to just have another tomorrow, right? It is a dire time in our country. We're not as bad as many other countries in the world today, but mismanagement, slow decision-making, U-turn decision-making, these are things that devastate us again and again. A full lockdown of 3 months would not have devastated as badly as the indecisiveness in the past 3 months, where investments into recovery measures were cut short when, you know, another lockdown was announced. We need a government that knows what it's doing and is decisive and has a plan, not someone that's trying to figure out how to save the country with its own resources.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Joachim. So that was Joachim Sebastian, founder and managing director of Everpeaks. I keep going back to like comparing like this MCO, not this MCO, the national recovery, like these phases with the MCO 1.0, the first one that we had. And you can sense a lot of desperation now, like mm-hmm. in everyone that we talk to, like in their voice and when we read the news, there is a sense of a lot of like we are at that crucial point of surviving and not surviving. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think honestly it is scary, but it's also something that needs to sink in. It needs to sink in how desperate some people are at this stage, right? And I think that was echoed by Joachim in whatever he said.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we will be taking a short break, but after that we will be talking about some grants for the 3D sector. So if you want to get in touch with us for the remainder of the show, you can do so on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. This is Why Can't I Be Like You by The Cure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.